In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 19, beginning with the first verse. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever. This is the word of the Lord."
We join in preparing for the Pentecost reading, even as the Exodus showed that God was coming to his people at Mount Sinai. Now in Pentecost, he comes to us by his Spirit. Let us join in singing the Praise the Father, Praise the Son. Please stand. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Come, Holy Spirit, alleluia. And kindle in them the fire of your love, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, alleluia, amen. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at that sound a multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the good news of the Holy Spirit. Praise to you, O Spirit." What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. When we are thinking of looking for help, what direction do we usually look towards when we need help? Giving you a clue. We usually look up, right? And if you're thinking about the world and different places in the world, different landmarks and stuff, where do we most often think are going to be the most spiritual places? Tops of mountains. I'm glad she said that. So we look up for help. We look to high places as the spiritual places. A story, even we talk about a story having a rising action to the climax, to the high point of the story. And if someone is doing well in life, we say that they are moving on up to the east side, just like the Jeffersons. We say moving on up, we think of up high places as where there's going to be hope. But what I want you to see today is how God has been at work. God has been bringing his spirit low, down to us. I mean, you look at the readings today, both from the book of Exodus and from Acts, and there's all these words like that are heights and mystery words and places that are kind of ways in which we might think of God as somewhere beyond, right? We've got, there's a cloud, there's a mighty rushing wind, there's fire, there's wilderness, there's wonders in heaven, and it all seems beyond. And so it makes sense that sometimes we'd start to think, well, if I'm going to be more spiritual, I've got to get to that beyond place. If I could get up to the highest mountain and look up high, and then something else will happen, maybe I'll be there. But where does God do his work among his people in these readings today? God doesn't do his work among his people in the heights. It's been a process of God coming down to his people, coming down to his disciples. So even if we look at this series of God meeting with people on the heights, whether in the Exodus on Mount Sinai, or last week the Ascension on the mountaintop, or Jerusalem, which is built on a high place, even if we look at that and see God meeting with people at the high place, really symbolically, it's a process of coming down low. It's God's downward movement to us. Brought down, brought low, he comes to us. Think about it. At Sinai in Exodus 19, where Moses goes up on the high mountain enveloped in a cloud to receive the law of God. But then what does Moses do? He comes down to the people with the word of God. It's a downward movement. Last week, we talked about Jesus taking the 11 up on a mountaintop to ascend into the heavens. And yet when he ascends and they're staring into the sky, what do the angels say? Why are you staring into the sky? He's going on ahead of you. Go to Jerusalem. And so they were on the mountaintop and they were sent down to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, it's built on a high place. It's the city of David, the city of God. And on Pentecost, they're in this high place, so to speak. And yet, what is the Spirit going to do? The Spirit is going to send them from Jerusalem to all of Judah, to all of the land, to all of the known world with the gospel. It's a downward movement of God. Even if we look at some of the other high places in Scripture, we can go back to the mountaintop of the Transfiguration. Maybe it was the same mountaintop, I don't know. But Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up there, and he transfigured before them, shows them his divine glory. And what does Peter say? Hey, let's stay here. And that was almost like, you know, it was like the trigger word. Let's stay here, and whoop, all the divine glory was gone. And Jesus said, no, come on, let's go. And they came down, and he said, don't tell anybody about this until I've risen from the dead. It's a downward movement. We're not just going to stay on the heights. And even on that hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, where our Lord was crucified, it's a high place. People could see it from the city. It was a crucifixion raised up on a cross. We look up to the cross, but even in that moment, this is God moving downward to the depth of depths that our Lord was killed. And then he moved down off the cross because the cross would not hold him. He was moving down to us with his forgiveness, with his promise of eternal life. It's a downward movement to us. So low, brought down, that's where God is at work with his Holy Spirit. And this is what he is doing in us. Exodus. God says, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. But that doesn't mean, hey, let's all go on top of the mountain. What he means is a kingdom of priests, meaning that they will speak the word of God to one another. They will serve one another in the name of God, down low in the nitty-gritty of life. They will be God to one another as they speak his word. And then today in Pentecost, it says the Spirit is poured out on all people. First, it comes to the 11, the apostles. They start speaking in all these different languages, which is incredible. But the point of the day is that God is pouring out his Spirit on all people, down among the people, brought low. That's what he's doing in us. It's not just some elevated position. If we were really spiritual, we'd be on some spiritual high. Instead, God's movement is all just bringing us right down to regular life on the ground. You and me, all of us, around one another, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can speak the word of God to one another. Now, the English word spirit is related to the words used in Scripture for spirit. In Hebrew, it's ruach. And in Greek, it's pneuma. And I just wanted to say that because I can prove that I studied this week. But ruach and pneuma mean breath, wind. And our word spirit comes from Latin, but it's got a bit of that, doesn't it? I mean, when we talk about the spirit or the soul of a person, it's something that's it's a life-giving, right? There's some kind of life force, we might say. But in Scripture, it talks about the spirit as a wind. As breath. And when we move to English, there's a number of English words that use the word spirit in them, even maybe we didn't realize it. There's an ending to a word called it's spire, and every spire, that word there is spirit. So I was reading along, somebody else pointed out all these words, and it's beautiful because when the Spirit comes down low, he does these spire words in us. He does these spirit words in us. First of all, expire. And I know there's no S there, but X and S don't go together in English, so just go with it. Expire. And what that means is really, literally, without breath, without spirit. God saw that we were dead in our sins, expired, without his spirit. And so he came to become expired for us, brought low on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus perspired. Perspire means to breathe through. That's what sweat means. It's breathing through our skin. He perspired for us in agony on the cross. He let our spirit of suffering breathe through him in his agony so that he would be able to breathe through us with his spirit instead. He perspired on our behalf because he saw that we would expire without him. And so then he expired on the cross so that there can be respire, respiration, breathe again. He died. Jesus died and rose again. He breathed again so that he can do the work of respiration in us, to give us breath again through his Holy Spirit, to give us life again, re-spire. And then inspire. Inspire really means breathe in. And a lot of times we might say something like, well, that really inspired something within me. But that's not how God would use this. God would breathe into us his Spirit. He breathed into the authors of Scripture. We say they were inspired by God. He breathed into them his words so that the Scriptures are his words. And he inspires us through his word. He breathes into us his truth. And we rejoice that it's his breath, not our own breath, but his breath in us. Inspire. Conspire. Now, usually that sounds kind of negative. They're conspiring. But conspire just means to breathe together, to work together, to be working towards the same Spirit. And God, what he's doing is he's conspiring with us. He's breathing together with us, with his Spirit. He is asking us to be his co-workers in his gospel mission, in his church. He is conspiring with us and breathing into us together with us. Transpire, which means breathe across. He has breathed across you with his Spirit. So that he is transforming you by his Spirit. Transpire. And then finally, aspire. And aspire. Aspire, usually we think of aspirations. I aspire to do this. But this sense, I want you to think of it this way. It means breathe towards. God aspires towards you. He is breathing towards you with his truth and what he wants to do in your life. Rather than filling ourselves up with our own breath, he is breathing towards us with his aspiration. He is giving his Spirit to you as his disciples. We might think of confirmation as something on the heights. But confirmation is not on the heights. It is brought down low. It's God's movement low to work among you. And all of you who have been confirmed or challenged or encouraged in the faith, that is God moving down to you. It's not some elevated thing that's out of reach. God is doing this work in you by his word, bringing his Spirit to you because he wants to renew you and transform you, respire you, give you new life. Now, somebody out there is going to get wise and say, what about spire? You know, a tower, spire, right? See, Pastor, spire means high things, right? Somebody's going to get smart and say that spire should be up here with the tower, but I've got it crossed out. Do you know why? Because it still works. Because spire, it's a Norse word, not related at all to Latin. So spire doesn't mean anything like we're talking about today, so don't think of faith, being a disciple, being confirmed, following Jesus. Don't think of it as some sort of tower. It's God moving downward to you with his hope, with his grace, with his forgiveness, with his promise of life after death. He has truly come to you to be expired on your behalf so that you are respired, so that you will be transpired, because he has aspirations for you to be his people. Amen. We continue with receiving our offerings and our prayer requests.
In our prayer requests today,
we pray for many who are struggling in health, adding to that today. We continue to pray for Javier Ramon's mother, who's been dealing with kidney failure. Former Bethel staff member Chris Drager, whose mother has cancer. Also, we give thanks with my wife Susan and her mom, Sam Foster, with lung cancer, but we received some good news today. The treatments are working, but we pray for continued treatment there. Also for the struggles that her parents are having during this time. We also pray for a family member of Murray Hupp, Pam, who is 55, has many medical complications, but now her mother, who's 78, is now having to be the caregiver. So it's a very difficult situation. Also, we pray for Sue, who is the mother of a friend of Bethel's, Ryan from O'Toole's. Sue is in hospital for cancer. Pray for her. Also, we pray for Marisa Jones, who's on her senior high school a mission trip in Nicaragua right now. So we pray for her and her group. Also, we pray for our church council and elders who meet this afternoon in a working meeting, seeing where God is leading us in our structure and direction. Prayers for Tiffany and Victoria Withrick as they travel through California. Also, prayers for Judy Warren. Judy is a family member of the Bunnels. A prayer for protection and healing for a cardiac procedure tomorrow. Also, prayer thanksgiving that tests for Lisa Schwarz showed good prognosis. We give thanks for that as well. Lisa Schwarz, our church secretary. Also, give thanks with Lynn Barkley. We've been praying for her brother Phil on and off. He had successful jaw replacement surgery this week. Gurney Meadows resident Lucy continues in rehab. Paul DeLassus' sister-in-law Maureen had a surgery at Mayo Clinic last week. It was partially successful, but that means she needs open heart surgery this week. Jim and Donna Gerken have traveled to South Carolina for the funeral of a friend's son. June Doherty asked us to pray. June, a member here, moved to Hebron, which is quite a drive, and it upsets June that she can't keep coming to Bethel, but we're working on finding her a church closer to her, but she wants prayers for that. And then finally, we also ask you to pray for a family member of my extended family. David Miller is a 20-year-old student at the University of Minnesota, and he's been missing since Monday, which is not good at this point. And so we pray for the Miller family, and their whole church family is gathered around them, which is tremendous. So, are there other prayers that we can offer this day? Yes, Amanda. I'm sorry. All right, we pray for all police officers, safety for them. Other? Yes, Stephanie.
I'd like to pray for my husband's safe return from New Orleans.
Okay. We pray for Jason Burkett traveling back from New Orleans by road, did you say?
Driving
by himself. Okay, we pray for Jason. Yes, Tom. We definitely are going to be praying for the confirmants today. Thank you, Tom. Other prayers? Thor?
I want to pray for brother-in-law Brian, who lost his son.
We pray for Thor Peplow's brother-in-law Brian, who lost his son. All right, on Friday night. Janine? We pray for Janine Hautzinger's father, Jack, pain, struggles with his knee, but also having lost his friend, Elaine. John?
My 11th wedding anniversary.
Your which?
My wife, Laurel. Wedding anniversary.
All right. We give thanks with John and Laurel Schultz for their wedding anniversary. Any other prayers? All right, what we're going to do is we're going to pray right now, and then we'll join in singing the offertory. So please stand for prayer. Father, so much to bring before you today. We give you thanks that you have come down to us. We raise up prayers. We look to the sky. We look for help, Lord. And yet we realize that you have been on a downward movement to come to us, to bring us your Son, Jesus, to live and die and rise again for us, to bring us your Holy Spirit to work faith in us and to lead us forth. And we pray that we are able to see that this day. Lord, we ask that you'd be with our church council and elders as they meet this afternoon. Lead and guide them as they consider directions for Bethel and structure to take. And we pray that it would be led by you. We ask that you'd be with Marisa Jones and her mission trip and the group as they are in Nicaragua. May you breathe through them with your hope and your gospel through the work that they do. We ask that you'd be with all police officers and keep them safe in their duties. And we ask especially that you would guard and keep them this day. We give you thanks, Lord, for how you protect us through others. We also ask that you'd be with Jason Burkett as he travels back from New Orleans. Be with Tiffany and Victoria Withrick as they travel in California. Also, Jim and Donna Gerken traveling for the funeral. Bless and keep all those travels, or others who are joined here today on this confirmation day who have traveled. Bless and keep them in their going and coming. We ask that you would be with all those that we have on our list who continue to name before you who struggle in health. And Lord, we know that you are at work. And we know that as we bring them before you on a list and said out loud and in our hearts, we know that you are at work. And help us to trust in your will and bring peace and comfort to families. We ask that you would be watching over those who struggle in grief, including Thor Peplow's brother-in-law, Brian, as he mourns for his son. We pray that in the midst of that grief, there may be the hope of eternal life from you. We also ask that you would be with Janine Hautzinger's father, mourning for a friend, Elaine. We pray that you would give him comfort. Lord, we ask that you'd be with June Doherty as she is moved, and pray that she is able to find a church community. Continue to strengthen her in faith and watch over her in her new surroundings. We also give thanks with John and Laurel Schultz for their wedding anniversary. Continue to bless and keep them in their marriage, strengthened by your love for them so that they may love one another. We ask that you would be with the Miller family as they continue to search and to pray for David. We pray that in these days of missing that there may be some kind of hope, Lord. But Lord, no matter what, we give you thanks for your church and the way the church has surrounded this family with your care and your compassion, and pray that that strength may continue. Lord, we thank you that we can bring these prayers before you, trusting in your mercy, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let's join in singing the offertory. You may be seated. We celebrate confirmation this day, our students publicly confirming that they indeed believe in Jesus. They are his disciples through the grace of God who grants them faith in Jesus. Dear students of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his church, saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Because of this command, you were brought by your families to be baptized, and now you have been taught the faith into which you were baptized. At your baptism, your parents, your sponsors, and the congregation confess the faith for you. Now you yourselves will confess this faith before the church, even as you have this earlier this week in your faith stories. And they have tremendous faith stories. You'll get the copy of a faith story booklet on the way out. You have been confessing the faith. Today is about confirming that you are his disciples. Because Jesus said, whoever confesses me, who says my name and that you are a disciple, confesses me before people, I will also confess that one before my Father in heaven. But the one that denies me before people, I will deny that one before my Father in heaven. Therefore, I ask you to lift up your hearts in praise to God and joyfully confess your faith in Jesus before this congregation by pledging your commitment to his teachings. You can come forward. I will now ask the questions. Do you understand the gifts which God gave you in your baptism? Do you reject the devil and his works in all his ways? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, his only Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do you intend to continue in the Christian faith, to be committed to the church throughout your life? Will you suffer even to the point of death rather than denying Christ? Do you believe the scriptures to be the inspired word of God? And do you believe that the small catechism accurately teaches what the scriptures say? Do you desire to be a member of the Lutheran Church and of this congregation? Do you intend faithfully to live your life according to God's word, to hear God's word and receive the Lord's Supper, and to remain true to God in your faith, your words, and your actions? Are you asking to be shepherded, cared for in your faith, and committing to encourage others in their faith in Jesus? Will you serve in and support the work of this congregation in the mission of God? Do you confess that you are a disciple, a follower of Jesus? Amen. You may kneel, and your families may come forward. We now speak the confirmation blessing for each student along with their confirmation verse, and Stephanie Bunnell, one of our lay coaches, is assisting. Alyssa Pearl Butler, may you grow in the wisdom of God, seek the Lord in prayer, receive his strength, and always have the hope of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Alyssa's confirmation verse is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Alexandra Grace Dorner, may you grow in the wisdom of God, seek the Lord in prayer, receive his strength, and always have the hope of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lexi's confirmation verse is taken from Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
Amen. Brennan Michael Zachary Hautzinger, may you grow in the wisdom of God, seek the Lord in prayer, receive his strength, and always have the hope of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Brennan's confirmation verse is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Kelly, Jessica, Cruzy, may you grow in the wisdom of God, seek the Lord in prayer, receive his strength, and always have the hope of eternal life in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Kelly's confirmation verse is Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act.
Dane Anthony Peplow, may you grow in the wisdom of God, seek the Lord in prayer, receive his strength, and always have the hope of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dane's confirmation verse is Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more.
You'd all remain where you are. We will pray. Upon this, your statement of faith and promise, I invite and welcome you as members of the Lutheran Church and of this congregation to share with us all the gifts that the Lord has given to his church and to live out your faith continually through worship and service. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness which brought these students, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have enabled them to believe in their hearts and confess with their mouths his saving name. Grant that they may continue in the faith until the day your Son returns to say to all the faithful, you have fought the good fight, you shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessings. You may return to your seats. I'm going to ask Stephanie to stay up here, Jose Rios and Mr. Ben Sanders to come forward right here as they're seated. So during the confirmation year, it has been extremely vital, but also incredibly rewarding that we have a number of volunteers over the years who have helped us in class. This year, our volunteers, Stephanie Bunnell, Jose Rios, and Ben Sanders. Ben and Stephanie, this was their first year helping. Jose, kind of every other year, it's been tremendous to have them. And really, it was about their investment in our eighth graders and our seventh graders, investing time, but also investing stories of their own faith and encouraging them to be disciples. So as a gift to them, they each receive a poster. And this is the symbol we've been using around Bethel to talk about discipleship, that discipleship is moving from head knowledge of the faith to heart life, that it's not just about knowing facts, it's also about how the facts of who Jesus is and who he has made us to be transform our lives. And these three exemplify that search and that journey of seeing how the Lord leads us as disciples. So I thank for Stephanie and Jose and Ben. So thank you. We continue with the order of the Lord's Supper, and we invite all those visiting with us today to commune with us. If you have been baptized, have been instructed in the faith, and then believe as we do that the bread is the body of Christ and the wine is the blood of Christ shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. If this teaching of the real presence, the true presence in the supper is new to you or different than the confession that you hold, we ask that you wait to commune until we've had more of a chance to talk. But to come forward today to kneel at the rails and cross your arms and receive a blessing from the Lord. Let's continue with the preface, singing the preface verses. Please stand. We pray. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share that peace with those around you. You may be seated. Please stand. Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death. And by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Father, grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful to have you here today as we rejoice on this Pentecost. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in our confirmants. And in just a moment after announcements, they're going to follow me over to the door so you can congratulate. Always seems like the wrong word. Just say you're thankful that they're disciples. How about that? All right. Just a few announcements. Next week is the end of our education year. Last Sunday for the two services on Sunday. Lots of different activities during the education hour for all ages, so I hope you'll be here. Also, just wanted to note, like the buzz says today, our mission project from the Sunday School has raised $1,200 this year for Love in the Name of Christ, both for bedding and for coats. So wonderful outpouring of support for our community. There's also a lot of information about Vacation Bible School in today's buzz, so please check that out, how you can register kids and friends' kids, of course, get friends' parents' kids. Get the permission of people, but encourage them to be at our Vacation Bible School and also to volunteer. Also, just wanted to note, if you're getting our weekly emails, the buzz announcements, other kinds of emails, you might have noticed that it's now coming from a service called MailChimp. And yes, the staff loves that we have become monkeys. So, if you are not getting the announcements and you used to be, check your spam folder. Sometimes you have to tell your email client that, yes, you welcome email from MailChimp, and then you'll start getting those announcements. If you're having any trouble, let us know in the office. Then finally, don't forget, on your way out, we've got those faith story booklets. I am just so impressed with what God is doing in these students, and I love their faith story, so please take one of those. And if you have a few moments and can put away chairs and help us around here, that would be great. After the confirmands welcome everybody, then we will do pictures up here. God's blessings. Come on.